Thousands of scientists across the globe reiterating calls for immediate action over the climate crisis, warning that several tipping points are now imminent. And this was in an article published in the journal Bioscience earlier this week. And those scientists making the point that governments have consistently failed and consistently continue to fail to address the over-exploitation of the Earth. Dr. Peter Johnston is a climate scientist at UCT's Climate Systems and Analysis Group, otherwise known as Weatherman Pete, on a Monday and a Friday to regular listeners.
Hi, John.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, you're throwing me a hot potato now. I mean, what am I going to do? How am I going to bring bad news wrapped up in wrapping paper for you?
Yeah, well, what you can do is tell me if it's true that there are clear signs that more and more governments that are important are starting to take this issue considerably more seriously, to the point where we might not reach those tipping points because of actions which are being and will be taken soon. But don't lie, if that's not the case, then that's
no,
not the
no,
case.
John, it's just that phrase, starting to take things seriously, that has become so hackneyed. I mean,
yeah, because it's too late to start.
Tatiana had never gone past the first turn. That's the thing, you know. Everyone is talking about starting and setting targets and the target shift. And essentially, this is the planet's annual checkup. That's what it is. And the scientists are saying, guys, we're not getting better. In fact, we're getting sicker. And all the systems, you know, the digestive system, the blood system, the skin, the organs, they're all failing. And so when are we going to actually do something about it? And that's the sadness. We do see some governments taking action. And then you look at the countries that should know better, countries like Australia, where they're doing nothing, very, very little. And it's actually the people of those countries, the new technology, the business people, the banks, the retirement funds that are actually making better progress, where they're saying, listen, look at these things. It's about the energy. It's about the cleanliness of the air. It's about safe and nutritious food. It's about our economy moving to be more equal and more even. And it's about population growth. That's the one that, you know, people don't really want to talk about. So I'm afraid that the bad news is that the diagnosis is we're sick in all of those areas. And the prognosis is that, yes, some of them we can actually do something about. Whether we're going to be able to do anything about global warming, which is leading to a changing climate, we don't know. So we can do something about that too. We can learn to adapt. But all along, I think, you know, we are getting sicker and sicker.
What are these tipping points which are now imminent, Peter?
Well, those are very debatable, so I don't want to go into the details, but, you know, scientists have said that if the Earth gets to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial times, which is really, realistically, we're looking at 2030, which, you know, is kind
that's
of
close.
Your next big
yeah.
birthday. So that's really close. When it comes to food, clearly, we're looking at the impact of global warming on food production. When we look at food production, we look at the unequal distribution. And we see that countries like China are investing massively in African food systems for their own benefit. And if you look at the kind of food that's grown in Africa, most of it has a colonial legacy and is not just the food, the crops, I mean, and other crops that were wanted by colonial powers many years ago. And so it's taking a long time for Africa to get to the point where it can feed itself. Asia is getting there. That's a tipping point. Human population, you know, yesterday, 29th of July, was the day that we ran out of sustainable resources on this planet. You know, now we're living on an overdraft, and that's very sad. So there are too many people.
And every year, that day in the calendar year at which point we run out of resources and move into overdraft is happening earlier and earlier. There are a couple of exceptions, but that is the trend.
That's correct. Absolutely. Is our economy getting more environmentally aware? You know, are we looking at more sustainable options? Are we buying less trash and using less plastic? Whew, I wish I could say yes.
And this adapting, preparing for, we've had extreme events, we've had extreme heat in parts of the United States of America, parts of Canada, we've had the flooding across parts of Europe, and countries which one thinks of as being well organized and decently run, Germany and Austria, suffered badly. They were given warnings that the heavy rains were coming, and yet the disasters on the ground showed no real preparation for what they had been long-term warned about and then weather forecast warned about in the shorter term.
Correct. The word adaptation is really bandied about a lot, but what it really means is to increase your resilience. And the word resilience means to bounce back. Now, you can bounce back from a lot of things, but once you get to a certain threshold, it's very, very difficult to bounce back. So one tries to expand those thresholds and say, okay, if we get 100 millimeters of rain in 2 days, will we be able to cope? And you do certain measures. And then all of a sudden, you get that 100 millimeters in a couple of hours. And the people of Germany had never seen that before, and they weren't prepared for it. And the climatologist and the hydrologist said, guys, you've got to get out of your houses. And they said, no, we don't think so. And they didn't. Whereas the Dutch, you know, which have known about water for hundreds, thousands of years, they reacted absolutely very quickly. So they've got a very high resilience. And I think that's the key, is we've got to look at resilience. Now, we've just had one of the coldest winters in a long time, and people are now going to be jumping out and saying there's no such thing as global warming. But essentially, this is caused by melting of the ice in the Antarctic, putting a whole lot of cold water into the sea, which is cooling the air, which is making these what we'd call errant cold frontal systems, which are sucking in a lot of this Antarctic air and bringing us cold. These changes, these sudden extreme events are exactly symptoms of the whole climate issue that, you know, this Earth is suffering right now.
How adaptable/resilient are we in South, or make it slightly broader, Southern Africa?
Well, we're very exposed in terms of agriculture, and because we can't move to cooler places. You know, there's a limit of how many mountains we can go up and how far south we can go. You can see the wine industry is severely stressed. Now, that's not necessarily a food, but we are finding that the suitabilities of areas for growing maize, wheat, etc., are changing. We still have some possibilities, but it does mean that we're going to have to shift. So I think we're fairly resilient. And the nice thing is the South African government has taken the scientists seriously. As you know, there's a very large cohort of climate scientists, world renowned and in good standing in South Africa. And that has been a huge boon to the sort of regulatory environment at all three levels of government. So we are seeing action on those fronts, and I think that is certainly making us more resilient than countries where there's a huge denial that sits in the political arena.
We're not ending the hour with the same burst of joy that we started it with. But doses of reality are important. They really are. Peter, thank you very much. Love chatting to you. Dr. Peter Johnston, a climate scientist at UCT's Climate Systems Analysis Group.